Take your Bibles, and we're going to look at just several passages again. We'll start off with the passage that was read for us in the scripture reading, John chapter 14, to just highlight a couple verses, and then we're going to park in 1 John. So we're going to make a stop-off point at John chapter 14. We'll begin there, and then we'll make our way to 1 John. Who's the author of the book of John? Who's the author of 1 John? Okay, all right. Just wanted you to know that. Very important, even though they have different purposes, there is a connection, same writer, and we're going to note the purpose of each of those books in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, as we look to your word, and as we look to how we can better live out our lives in light of it, may we be responsive this morning. May we be receptive. May we say, Lord, change my heart. Help me to be the kind of disciple, follower of Christ, genuine believer that you want me to be. May we not just play games. May we not just say in word that we follow Christ, but may it be from our heart's desire, a longing, to be the kind of person you want us to be. So change us. And as we read your word, may we desire to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. John 14, and I'm going to highlight just a few verses in this chapter, and then we'll move to 1 John. John 14, verse 15. I encourage you to underline it in your Bibles. It's hard to do. You can highlight it on some of your Bibles if it's a digital form. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Drop down to verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered him, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas, and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If you notice, in verse 15, it's talking about commandments. By the time you get down to verse 23 and 24, it's Jesus said, if you keep my word or my words. Just note that. Keep that in mind. We'll talk about it in a few moments. Now turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. When you hear the word commandment or rules, or regulation, or curfew, what do you think? Do you look at that with joy and with anticipation and with, oh boy, I will obey? Or do we just grit our teeth and groan and say, ooh, I hate rules and regulations and curfews and commandments? As I was driving to Naperville on Tuesday to go to a meeting with fellow chaplains and pastors, I realized that people do not like rules of the road. You probably have noticed that as well, especially you that drive at least an hour, maybe half an hour or an hour to work every day. You realize the frustration. And I want to say, I'm going to pray for you more faithfully, because I'm thankful that I work out of my home office most of the time, and sometimes out of here, I don't have to deal with that traffic. I mean, I was already at some points going 15 miles over the speed limit on 90 and 3:55, and I felt awkward, but I was getting run over by everyone. And I was feeling guilty because I'm preaching a message on following the rules. How do you deal with that? How do you reconcile that as a pastor? Well, we'll save that for another day. But commandments. Many people don't like commandments. However, I want to encourage you today, when God gives commandments, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit, He does not do that to make your lives miserable. The big idea for today, if you're taking notes, and even if you're not taking notes, is this. Knowing God is evidenced by our heartfelt desire to obey Him. Knowing God is evidenced by our heartfelt desire to obey Him. And we're going to just dive right into point number one. As you notice here, a genuine disciple of Christ obeys Jesus' commands. We see that in verses 3-5. I'm going to read it again because it's important. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. We'll stop right there for the moment. Another way of saying this, a genuine disciple obeys Christ's command, is this. Obedience proves our salvation. If you want to just put it in simple terms, obedience to God and His Word proves that we are saved. We show that we know God in a personal way when we do what He says. Keeping God's commands are evidence that we have come to know Him. Not only to know about Him, but to know Him and who He is. It is a terrible thing to be in a state of wondering or hoping if we are saved. Those of you who have grown up in the Christian home or around the church all your life, you know that often there is a struggle for those of us who came to know Christ or made a profession of faith at a very early age. We struggle with this matter of assurance of salvation. Did I really understand what I was doing? Did I understand why I went front? If you were from years ago where you came to the front and made a profession of faith, did I really understand that decision at camp? Was I being genuine? Because there's this feeling that you almost have to go out into the world, live a horrible life, get saved, and then that really is genuine. But, you know, I was saved at the age of 5. I made a profession of faith then. I was not saved from a life of drugs and alcohol and gangs. There wasn't too many that existed in my town anyway. Yeah, I was a rascal. I was a bad boy. But I knew that I needed salvation. I knew that I needed Christ. And of course, I was afraid of hell as well. That made an impact on my life as I heard about hell. I didn't want to go there. But I struggled throughout my teenage years with matters of assurance. And so did my wife, as she was saved at the age of 4. But I'm so glad for passages, for books like 1 John, that really get to the heart of the matter. And in fact, if you hold your place here and maybe flip over to chapter 5. And verse 13. This is the purpose of the book of 1 John. We read this. John is writing, and he's saying, the purpose of these things that I've written in this book of 1 John, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So John has arranged the materials in 1 John in such a way that he has provided some tests. All right, you struggle with this matter of assurance? Do you wonder really if you are a follower of Christ, a true disciple? Then look through this book and you'll find out in chapter 1, in fact, it talks about this matter of having fellowship with God. If you say you have fellowship with God, but you walk in darkness, you're not in the light. If you say you have no sin, then you're not a follower of Christ. If you say that you're a follower of Christ but you don't obey, there's room to question. If you say that you love the brethren but you don't, or you have no desire to love one another, then you ought to question your faith. And so, and to put it on the other side, if I am sensitive to sin, if I am trying to obey to the best of my ability God's commands or His Word, if I am loving others as Christ has instructed me, then those are tests that indicate you can know that you have salvation, that you are saved, that you are a genuine disciple of Christ. He doesn't say, I hope so, but I want you to know so. So go back to go back to 1 John chapter 2 again, verses 3 through 6. So as you read verse 3, by this we know, not hope so, not wish or think, but by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. One of the proofs of a genuine disciple of Christ is that he obeys the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached, when the Word of God is read, there is a desire from within to say, okay, ooh, I don't like what I've heard, but I will follow. Or, I like what I've heard, and it's my passion to continue in that way. If that's the desire, then there is an indication, a proof that we know Him. Commandments. What does commandments mean? Does that mean the Ten Commandments? I would say probably a lot of people think that if initially, well, I follow the Ten Commandments. I haven't murdered anybody. I've not committed adultery. I honor my parents. I don't covet, or at least I try not to. So sometimes we can say, okay, I'm following His commandments. But I don't think it's just talking about the Ten Commandments or the Mosaic Law. I think it's talking about just Christ's instructions, Christ's admonitions, Christ's commandments, that we follow Him, that it's talking about the Word of God. Do we follow, do we obey God's Word? Do you realize that obedience is a central theme throughout the Bible? Let me kind of walk with you for just a moment through the pages of Scripture, kind of a flyover, and just highlight, remind you, not everyone, of course, but just highlighting a couple themes. But this theme of obedience is there from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. So Genesis 1 to 3. Do we learn about the importance of obedience? Yes. Who are the factors? Who are the key characters in Genesis 1 and 2 and 3? Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden, they could enjoy anything and eat from any tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had everything at their disposal. Everything was perfect. And God said, one tree, don't eat from that tree. And what did they do? They went for it. It's kind of like wet paint. Wet paint, do not sit here. Do not touch. What do we want to do? We want to touch. We want to sit. We got to test it out, right? Well, they did. And one act of disobedience caused major consequences. And we feel the effects of that today. Genesis 12, Abraham was told to go into another land. Go into the land that I have called you to. And he obeyed, even though he didn't know the details. That was pretty remarkable, by the way. Genesis 22, Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise. Obedience in the midst of uncertainty. Deuteronomy 11, the children of Israel were told, you'll have blessings if you obey, but cursings if you disobey. And we know the ups and downs that the nation of Israel went through. Deuteronomy 21, now you parents, I probably would say don't read this to your kids, but just know about this in the background. If a man had a son who was rebellious and wouldn't obey his father and mother, what did they do? They took him out to the center of town, and there they stoned him. Now, Don't follow that literally, believe me, or you're going to be in a big trouble. But it's the idea of obedience was important. They were setting an example and saying, don't do this. There's consequences. Later on, of course, in the New Testament, children are told to obey their parents. And then it said one of the characteristics of the last days is that children would be disobedient to their parents. So interesting how that theme of obedience and disobedience. King Saul, he was removed from being king because of his disobedience. And he was instructed to obey is better than sacrifice. He thought by sacrifice he could clear things up. But God's instructions were, just obey, Saul. But he didn't. Solomon, the wisest and richest man that ever lived, unbelievable wealth. His final words in the conclusion at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 was this, fear God and, what is it? Keep His commands. Matthew chapter 7, there's the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. You know that little song? Wise man built his house. All right. Now you're going to be humming that throughout the rest of the sermon. All right. But the idea of building your life on a solid foundation. If you want to build your life on a solid foundation, what do? You not only hear the word, but you obey the word. And that's the whole point of it. There's the scenario there of a man who builds his life on the solid rock, on obedience, and it stands strong when the tests of life come, when the storms come. But the one who builds their life on the sand and the storms come and their life is destroyed because they have heard the word but don't obey. So obedience all through the word of God. Blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. But you know what my concern is? Many times when we again hear the word command or instruction or you need to do this from the word of God, we bristle. And we should not do that. In fact, for a genuine disciple, we welcome that into our life. But why do we bristle so? Because we're afraid that it will kill our fun if we do that. Or we feel like God is withholding something from us. But I want to assure you this morning, God wants to save us from a lot of heartache and disaster in our lives. Do you remember the verse in Matthew 11:28 where Christ said this, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden or weary and are burdened, and I will give you more rules. Do you know that? Have you heard that verse? That's the perverted verse, okay? It says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. I love it when 1 John 5, you can peek there really if you'd like to. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. It talks about Christ's commands are not burdensome. He doesn't give us rules just to make our life miserable. He gives us rules so that our life will be more fulfilled, more joy. We need rules. We need regulations. And by the way, parents, children need fences. Children need boundaries. And they're more, they may buck at it all the time. They may try to dangle their foot over that line all the time, but they need it. There's more security in those rules and regulations and curfews. It's for their best. My question for you is this morning. Do you obey God's word? Is the Bible your rule for life and practice? Is your guidebook for how you're to live your life the Word of God? How many times, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard something like this. I know what the Bible says, but, and I can tell immediately where someone's coming from. It's unbelievable whether it's at Bickford or the police station or around the community with my neighbors, I know what the Bible says, but, those are horrible words. I don't like to even hear that. And I know what's coming is, I want to do my own thing. I want to live my life based on feelings and based on maybe some of my traditions in my family. I don't want to follow God's word. Oh, I know that that's a place with lots of immorality going on, but I want to have fun with my friends. I know that I should only marry a believer, but Pastor, I love her. I know she doesn't go to church or believe what I believe, but I love her. I know I shouldn't do that activity, but it's too hard to be different. Oh, I hear so many excuses all the time. And you know what? I'm one of the best excuse makers there is. So I know all the excuses, and I tried all of them. And some of the, I'm glad that the Lord kept a hold of my life and didn't let me go off in my way. Because boy, I'll tell you, I could have went off the path in a huge way so many points in my life. And I'm glad that you weren't there to know when they were as I was growing up. I'm glad my parents didn't know at every little juncture there. There was a little decision that had I made one wrong move or taken that decision to its end, it would have destroyed me and I'd never be here today. It's amazing how those little decisions in our life to follow God can determine the whole outcome and course of our lives. And when I was in the internship back a number of years ago, it's even further and further now the older I get, that internship. But I'll never forget one of the young men that was in our internship with us. He said his dad was a public speaker speaking all across the country. And he made a statement something like this. Life is not determined by what you want, but by the choices you make. He says, you may want to be someone who makes a difference, but if you make some choices along the way to not obey God, to not choose God's way, you'll never get what you want. And I was thinking back of some of my best buddies back in high school that I played basketball with and ran cross country with and played baseball with. They didn't say in their yearbook, I want to be a drunken bum. I can guarantee that. In fact, if I look back, I bet you'll never find that. I want to be a bum. I want to make a mess of my life. But somewhere along the line, as I've seen and gone to some of my class reunions, I've seen something happened along the way. And now some of them that were the most popular, the most likely to succeed, are way off track. And they've messed their life up. Now, I praise God that I can still offer hope through Jesus Christ. No matter how much we have detoured or disobeyed, He forgives us. Praise God for the gospel. Where would we be today, all of us, without the gospel? But oh, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache if we followed God's commands, His ways, His word. Are we willing to count the cost? Are we willing to do the hard thing when it's not easy? Follow God's way. A genuine disciple obeys Jesus' commands. He gives two, just very quickly, in these verses. In verses 4 and 5, we see two individuals. It's like, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Boy, John just kind of lays it right out there. Whoever says, I don't know him, or I know him, but doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So the first example is someone who does nothing but talk. If you're filling in your outlines, someone who says, I believe, but there's no evidence. John says, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. And then the second example, someone who obeys God's word and shows his love through his obedience. Now, I want to remind you that this is not talking about in order to be saved, you have to obey the commands. That's not it at all. It's just, it's talking about if you do love Christ, there ought to be evidence in our life. And one of the evidences is obedience to His word. So number two, we just move on quickly here in our outlines. A genuine disciple walks like Jesus walked. A genuine disciple walks like Jesus walked. Now you may say, Pastor, how do you do that? Do we need to wear sandals, grow a beard, and walk over in Israel on the streets where Jesus walked? How do I walk like Jesus walked? Well, what does the word walk really mean? Walk is a metaphor for what? Living our lives. So basically, a genuine disciple lives like Jesus lived. And how was that? With dependence on God the Father, with submission to Him, obedient to His will. So in other words, not my will, but yours be done. Humbly, submissive to the Father, seeking to please God in His thoughts, words, and deeds. So who here can walk just like Jesus walked? Boy, that's a high calling, isn't it? That's a challenge before us. There was an old expression, or actually an acrostic, WWJD. Remember that? Have you ever said that to your kids? Have your parents ever said that to you? What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? Now, again, my parents and many others found fault with that and stuff, said, we could never be like just like Jesus. Well, that's true. But it's not a bad thing to just remind us, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would He handle this person that is just grating on me to no end? What would Jesus do? Not a bad thing. Yes, we could never perform His miracles. He came here to save us, so we could not save anybody else. But we ought to look at life and say, how would Jesus handle this situation? Not a bad way to do it. Maybe we ought to change it to WWID. What will I do? I don't know. WWJD is probably easier to remember. There was a book that came out, first published in 1897. Now, I wasn't there when it was published. Some of you kids probably think I was. But the book was called In His Steps. How many have read that book? Okay. We have one. Is there another one? Okay, two. All right. I encourage you to get a hold of that little book, In His Steps. It was written by Charles Sheldon. First published in 1897. The main character of the book is a pastor who challenges his congregation to not do anything for a whole year without first asking the question, what would Jesus do? That's probably where WWJD came from. But not a bad thing to think about. Wherever you are, in whatever situation you find yourself this week, not a bad question to say, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus react? What decision would Jesus make? If we are genuine disciples, we will do what our Master has modeled for us. John is here holding up the earthly life of Jesus as a model to be imitated. An author named Berge, who wrote the Letters of John, a commentary on the book of 1 John, said this, as earthly conduct is an essential part of faith, so too the earthly life of Jesus is an essential model for our lives. So the question comes, do people know that you are a believer by the way you live? If I am to live like Jesus lived, if I am to walk like He walked, do people see His life lived out through us? Actions speak louder than words. That's exactly what John is saying. Do our actions show that we're living for Christ? When I was a teenager, a question circulated then. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It's a kind of a sober thought. There's a hymn, an old hymn of the faith. It's entitled, Oh, to be like Thee. How many know that or know of it? Okay, Oh, to be like Thee. And it captures this whole idea. It says this in the hymn, Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Who doesn't want to be like that, to be like our Savior? Oh, to be like Thee. May that be our cry. So the big idea, again, is this. Knowing God is evidenced by our heartfelt desire to obey Him. A genuine disciple obeys His word. When God says this, I follow. And I want to just kind of mention this in closing. I failed to mention it during the message. The word keep. Keep His commands. It doesn't just mean do it. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it. It's the idea of guarding, protecting, actually in that term. So in other words, John is getting at the heart behind it. That as I look at God's commands, I ought not to like just say, all right, I'll just do it. I don't want to. I don't like it, the whole idea, but I'm going to grit my teeth and do it. No, it's the idea of I'm treasuring, I'm protecting, I'm guarding the truth, and I want to do it from my heart. And that's why I said in the big idea is the idea of a heartfelt desire. So may that be our desire. A genuine disciple obeys His word, and a genuine disciple lives like Jesus did. This message is for two reasons today. First, it's for those people who may even be here today, who say they believe, but there is no evidence. There's nothing in your life to indicate that you're a follower of Christ. Today, if I could just ruffle your feathers a little bit, in a good way, so that you examine your heart and say, am I a follower of Christ or not? And if not, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you need to go and repent of your sin and cry out to God to save you. And it will change your life, it will transform your life, and you'll want to, and you'll say, wow, why didn't I see that before? The blinders are lifted. Maybe your greatest need today is to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, to put your trust in Him. And I encourage you to do that. Maybe you're in the second reason this message is given today. Maybe you just lack assurance because of the imperfections in your life. Join the crowd. John would say, I know John would say this, I'm not asking for perfect obedience. I'm asking you to look at your heart and say, is my heart's desire to keep His word? We will never do it perfectly. We will always fall and fail. Not always. We will fall and fail many times. But if it's our heart's desire, and it's our utmost effort is put into obeying Him, then it gives us assurance that we belong to Him. Sometimes people have come to me and say, Pastor, I'm really bothered when I sin. Great! You know, if you could care less that you sin, there's a worry there. I would say, wow, you know. But when you do something wrong and you just feel that overwhelming nagging and just guilt, you're a believer, He's put the Holy Spirit within you, and He provides conviction. And that's a good thing to keep us on the path. And so, while keeping the commandments is not a condition for salvation, it is a sign, it is an evidence of your salvation. It is a mark of a true believer. So today, let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. If you need salvation, make that decision today. If you need assurance, then go to Him, thank Him for what He's done, and just revel in the joy of being a child of God.